11:01. Okay, so basically, I just wanted to pop in to introduce Stacy, and we're very lucky to have her as our guide today in the EFT, which is an amazing integrative modality. They've done a lot of tests on it. There was a couple years ago, there was an article in the HuffPost about how it can be used to significantly reduce anxiety, and we're just very lucky to have her here. So she's a transformational coach and also an integrative health practitioner, and I will turn this over to her for the webinar today.
Excellent. Thank you, Michael. I am so grateful to be here and excited to offer and share this first mini course on breathwork integration using emotional freedom techniques. Like Michael said, I am a transformational coach and integrative health practitioner, but I am also a fellow breather. So I am really grateful to Michael for inviting me to share this material with all of you today. And I commend everyone who's on this call for stepping up and committing to your ongoing breathwork practice, as well as committing to enriching that experience through integration techniques like EFT. So we'll go ahead and get started with some slides here. And you all should be able to see that first slide. If for some reason you don't, feel free to type into the chat box. Otherwise, I think we're good to go. I will just let everyone know ahead of time that this webinar is being recorded. And so if you choose to ask any questions, if you choose to speak or share at any point, then make sure you do so in a way that respects your own privacy and confidentiality. Okay, so let's get into it. Like I said, this is our introductory mini course on using EFT or emotional freedom techniques for breathwork integration. And let's start this dialogue with that last word in the title. Let's talk for a moment about integration. So I have some questions here for you, some things to think about, and maybe even to type into the chat box if they resonate with you. So has breathwork at some point awakened new emotions or sensations that may or may not feel a little unsettling? Have you struggled at times to make sense of memories or images or something that surfaced during a session? Or have you gotten messages from your psyche or from dreams that maybe even feel a little overwhelming or intense? Have you experienced new insights, new revelations, or intuitive nudges that you might not be sure how to act on? Or maybe you're looking for ways to translate the lessons from breathwork into your everyday life. Does that resonate with anyone here? Those tend to be some common experiences. Feel free to share if they those scenarios do resonate with you. But those, yes, we have a yes with an exclamation point. Yeah, so all of these scenarios provide a ripe opportunity for integration. And integration is essentially a process of bringing together separate parts or elements into a whole. When we talk about integrating an experience, like a breathwork experience, we refer to ways that we process and distill the thoughts, feelings, emotions, sensations, images, memories, whatever might arise during that experience. And so integration is often where this real transformation happens. It's an opportunity to mine the psychological and physical and spiritual insights from our sessions and incorporate them into our body, into our mind, into our life. Yeah, essentially, integration is this reorganizing process that makes the subconscious conscious. It tends to render something that seems extraordinary ordinary. In other words, it takes this symbolic or mythical journey, it extracts the treasure from it, and it transplants it into our daily life. Then we can apply and really live out what we've learned in a cohesive, consistent, day-to-day manner. And that's what integration is. And we have a few more yeses in the chat box here. Yes, yes, you've experienced those questions before in your breathwork experiences. So the question is, you know, Stacey, if integration is so important, if it's so transformative, then how do I do it? It's a common question and it's totally valid. So as you likely know, there are many ways to integrate. Some of us might journal after a breathwork experience or any experience in general. We might move to artwork or music. We might care for our bodies in certain ways with nourishing foods, proper hydration, adequate rest. We might incorporate certain self-care practices. Some people prefer yoga or other types of exercise. We might meditate or get a massage, spend time in nature. We might talk to a therapist or a compassionate friend or find a support group. All of these are proactive ways to integrate. And you likely have integration techniques of your own that you refer to after experiences. The key, though, is that we are taking those proactive steps. It's both an immediate and an ongoing process. Historically, integration practices weren't really as necessary as they might be today, since ritual and ceremony and inner work were often woven into the fabric of communal life. They were often shared across generations and really prioritized throughout a lifetime. The group helped mediate the not only the individual journeys, but also the personal and the collective meaning behind them. These days, we tend to have less support from family and friends and less cultural cohesion. And this often leaves us feeling a little more disconnected, a little more isolated, trying to make sense of powerful experiences on our own. And that's one reason I know Michael has created this community. It's also why we're going to be offering an ongoing integration circle exclusively for Breathwork subscribers. That's going to be another venue for support, and I'm going to be talking about that a bit more at the end of the webinar today. So then when we think about this topic of integration, we often think about the vague regions of memory and sensation and feeling, but it's actually a very physical process. And that's really interesting. It's a very physical process. We are actually changing our brain. We are reinforcing new pathways in our brain and creating new neural networks when we do this process of integration. We're literally training our brain to operate in a healthier way, and that's incredibly empowering. So today, we're going to learn about one specific way to integrate, to train our brain for lasting change. It's called Emotional Freedom Techniques, EFT, or tapping. But before we get into it, I figured you might be a little bit curious how I got interested and passionate about this topic of integration and EFT in particular. So I'll give you a little bit of a background on me. Again, I am Stacey. I'm a student and practitioner of integrative health, and I have been for a lifetime, really, but formally since I left the corporate publishing world about 7 years ago. I dove into nutrition and healthy lifestyle practices, starting with the ancient healing traditions, particularly yoga and Ayurveda. And then I started to implement those practices in my own life. I taught them to the clients that I worked with. I added deeper layers to that practice, including functional diagnostic nutrition, which means that I can use the latest laboratory technology and testing to uncover hidden stressors in the body and create these customized health-building protocols. And I saw results with this, though sometimes not as dramatic as I would have liked. I wrestled with why. What was holding me and others back from deeper healing that I knew to be possible. Was I missing something? And it took me a long time to discover this particular truth, that people often stay sick, they stay stuck or stressed or self-sabotaging, not for lack of knowledge, but for lack of awareness, one critical area. And that's the emotional pain that's lodged deep in the nervous system. And when I realized this more fundamental issue, I shifted into transformational coaching, which is so much bigger than creating health protocols. I now guide clients through this deep inner work so they can really heal their past. They can step up into the present more alive and confident. And they can imagine and then create for themselves this more powerful, this healthier, happier future. And I add this missing piece that many traditional approaches lack, and that's the body-centered tools to rewire the nervous system for lasting change. So in essence, what I did is I found ways to integrate, to align the needs of the body and the nervous system with the desires of the mind and spirit. And that intersection of body, mind, and spirit is often where the magic happens. So these days, I request fewer lab tests, I create fewer supplement protocols, but I also get better results. And the human being is so capable of radical self-healing once given permission and the right combination of tools. And that's the power of integration. It's not enough to have all of those pieces, no matter how brilliant they are individually. We really need to shift and put them together in a way that makes the whole being flourish. And that's also where EFT comes in. So I found EFT to be one, if not the simplest, most practical, versatile tool for efficiently shifting the body and mind, for helping us to process what's going on in so many layers of our being. And what's more, it's really amazingly accessible anytime, anywhere, once you know how to reclaim that literal power at your fingertips. Incidentally, in this little story about me, my own healing journey started with yoga and the breath. And the breath has come back to the forefront as I've added neurodynamic breath work to my own consistent practice. And I see how well it complements both my inner work and my professional work as a transformational coach and an EFT practitioner. So I am therefore incredibly honored to be sharing this material with fellow breathers and also to be bringing the two practices together with our ongoing EFT breath work integration circles. So let's get right into it. Over the next hour or so, we're going to dive into EFT. We'll first talk about some context and theory for the technique, and then we'll practice using it. So more specifically, we'll cover what EFT is, how it works, who benefits from it, when and where to use it, and why it pairs so well with breath work. And then we'll get into the practice. We'll work through a common experience that arises during breath work as a simple example. And then we'll take some time to reflect and review and consider some possible action steps. As we go, if you have questions, jot them down for yourself because we'll have time, specific time for questions at the end. So given that, my simple two-part goal is this. To one, provide you with an understanding of this versatile tool for integration and transformation. And then two, to empower you to begin using it immediately, whether you choose to do so on your own or in our ongoing integration circle is then totally up to you. Okay, so let's dive in. How many of you are already familiar with EFT or tapping? You can type a quick yes or no into the chat box so I get the sense of who's out there and what you already know. Okay, a little yes. Yes, okay, so we have some people, we have a no there. Yes, someone has it as an everyday practice already. Oh, someone else says no, this is the first time. Another no. Okay, so we have quite a mix of experience levels. Some people have never heard of it. Some people have very little experience. A few others use it consistently, it sounds like. So this is an introductory course, but I trust that all of us will get something out of it, whether we've practiced it many times or whether it's brand new. I'm going to start with a very general introduction and explain EFT. So EFT, like breath work, is a tool of radical self-healing and self-empowerment that quickly and powerfully shifts the mind and body. It's called tapping because that's what you're doing. You use your own fingertips to literally tap on the body to stimulate specific places on the body that correspond to endpoints of the energy meridians. And at the same time, you focus on unpleasant emotions, sensations, feelings, thoughts, memories. This process calms down the nervous system, it rewires the brain, and it restores the body's balance of energy. At its very core, then, tapping is this stress-relieving technique. It turns off the amygdala, which is the brain's built-in alarm system. And the amygdala is part of the limbic system, and that controls basic emotions, drives, instinct, mood, motivation, learning, long-term memory. So the amygdala sounds when we sense danger, whether it's real or perceived. And this means that far-ranging sources of psychological stress, like tomorrow's work deadline, or this morning's argument with your partner, or even that childhood trauma, can affect your physiology much in the same way as an immediate physical threat, like that proverbial tiger crouching in the underbrush, or maybe the near collision on the freeway that you experienced this morning. So when we talk about stress, though, not all stress is bad. We need some stress in our lives in order to grow. What we call use stress can power peak for performance, for example. So think about that adrenaline rush before a big race. Or it can activate Herculean feats of strength in the face of necessity or adversity or disaster or tragedy. Think about some of the heroic feats we hear about during natural disasters. This eustress can also help us find meaning in life's biggest challenges. If you think about the personal growth that you've had after lessons perhaps learned the hard way. Again, that's eustress in action. But more often than not, what we're dealing with is this destructive distress. And what happens when the immune system is all consumed with this kind of stress? Well, it weakens the... when the nervous system is consumed with all this kind of stress, that's when the immune system weakens. That's when aging happens. Our memory gets impaired. We lose our energy. We have dynamic relationship conflicts. And other things tend to happen when we're in these states of distress. Over time, then, our body adapts to this perpetual distress, and it copes, and it starts to downregulate quote-unquote non-essential functions, and that would be things like digestion and reproduction and higher thinking and acts of service. These become secondary to the more pressing needs of pure survival. And as many of us have heard before in talks about stress, this is a chronic state of fight, flight, or freeze, and that leaves us more reactive than proactive. Rather than being a temporary response, it becomes this state of being, a state of being that narrows our thinking, it reduces our resilience, it consumes our energy, it makes us more likely to repeat the same pre-programmed behavior over and over again while blocking access to new ideas and new inspiration. And when we're stressed like this, we become our least powerful selves. We're not able to tap into leadership and inspiration and really fire on all our potential cylinders. We're not able to be those most empowered, influential, interconnected, integrated human beings that we want to be in the world. But when we can calm down that amygdala, when we can calm it down in the face of not only real danger, but also perceived distress, we tell the body it's safe. And when the body feels safe, powerful shifts happen and healing is possible. From a place of safety, we can rewire the brain and nervous system such that we can rewrite our present and our future rather than continuing to perpetuate that programmed behavior from our past. We're able to shift into new beliefs and behaviors rather than what's been lodged in our subconscious. And this allows us to operate in a way that serves our higher flourishing. And that's exactly what EFT does. It quickly shifts the body into a state of healing where amazing things can happen. And as a result, EFT has been known to resolve myriad concerns and to provide dramatic results in many different areas. And I've listed a number of them here to give you a sense of the uses of EFT. It's been used in physical pain. It's been used for emotional issues, including anxiety, depression, fear, grief. It's used for basic stress relief, for weight challenges, any particular health diagnoses. It's been effective for phobias, cravings, addictions, compulsive behaviors. For those who are struggling with sources of self-sabotage or limiting beliefs they know that are there, EFT can be a powerful tool. It can also resolve issues from the past, family paradigms, healing intergenerational patterns, and healing trauma in general. It's used for building overall resilience, can be used relationally to resolve interpersonal conflict, to just improve that relationship dynamic in general. People also use EFT to overcome financial blocks, to step into a new level of professional success, or to build their confidence. It's effective for creating behavior change, for encouraging spiritual growth, for accessing new creativity and inspiration. And overall, it just helps people find this greater sense of peace and joy, equanimity and satisfaction in life. Those are a few of the issues, but the beautiful thing is that it's not only healing modality with all these wide-ranging applications, but also that it's accessible to you 24/7 with the power at your fingertips. So let's move into then how EFT works. EFT blends ancient wisdom with modern science. The tapping points themselves are based in Eastern healing traditions that have been practiced for more than 5,000 years. They correspond with the acupuncture points of traditional Chinese medicine and also with the marma points of Ayurveda. Tapping is also based in modern psychology, especially when we expose the body to unpleasant thoughts, feelings, sensations as we tap. It builds on principles from physics, specifically the notion that matter is really energy with these wave-like properties, which means that vibration and proper energy flow strongly affect the physical world. EFT also supports findings in neuroscience, especially that empowering truth of neuroplasticity, namely that the brain can and does change and develop throughout our lifetime. Tapping, therefore, has this long and deep history, fundamentally built on the premise, which is now being scientifically validated, that emotional well-being intimately affects physical and mental health. We're these complex beings with our body and mind and spirit interconnected. And when we apply pressure to these meridian endpoints and stimulate the body's energy system, and then couple that with the verbal and sensory processing, the physical action of tapping releases blocks so that energy can flow in our body. And the integration happens then from the inside, really bringing healing and wholeness on an emotional, energetic, and cellular level. And then, as we know, science is proving when you shift your internal environment, things like emotions and beliefs, then external changes often follow. Changes in physical health, changes in lifestyle decisions or relationship patterns, certain behaviors. The power really is within. So, let's get into the physical component of EFT. It's really easy to learn, and so I've put up on the screen a diagram of the points by way of introduction. We're actually going to go through these points in much more depth when we get into the practice part of the webinar a little bit later. But for now, I just have this diagram on the screen. I'll put it up again. You will have it as a downloadable handout on the EFT course page when that's ready. But you're also welcome to email me. Drop me an email if you'd like this handout sooner than that. I can just send it off to you. My email address is Stacy, S-T-A-C-Y. At soulsandsynergy.com. But again, I'll put this diagram up several times throughout the webinar so that you have it at your disposal for those people unfamiliar with the tapping points. But essentially, the physical component is that you pick one hand, it doesn't matter which one, and with three or four fingers, you move through the sequence of acupuncture points. You're applying firm but gentle pressure. And once you know the sequence, it doesn't change. As shown in the diagram, it's always the same. So then it happens by rote in the background. From there, you layer in the mental and psychological component. So as we tap, we use feelings, sensations, emotions, words to deepen the experience. And there are two parts to this: the quote unquote negative rounds and the quote unquote positive rounds. In the first, what we're doing is feeling and voicing all the heavy stuff, the pain, the hurt, the harsh words, destructive beliefs, distressing memories, really unpleasant physical sensations. We honor all of it, and then we express, as we're ready, an openness to change. And then we can shift into the quote-unquote positive rounds where we voice the new insights, emotions, thoughts, behaviors, and more that we really want to invite into our lives. And notice that I place the word negative and positive in quotation marks. While you'll often hear references to negative and positive in the tapping world, I tend to shy away from assigning value judgments to emotions and sensations. Every emotion and sensation that we experience as human beings is legitimate. That's a lesson that we learn from breath work. Some may feel more unpleasant and more uncomfortable, but all serve a purpose, all convey information, all cue us into some core truth about our embodied experience of the world, and all have their place in the tapping process. So while some may hesitate to really voice the quote-unquote negative or the unpleasant so boldly, that's actually the point. You tap first to really voice and reduce the charge on what subconsciously you're already speaking over yourself or living out in your body all the time. Denying the existence of unpleasant thoughts, feelings, symptoms, behaviors, experiences, or just thinking happy thoughts doesn't actually make them go away. Can anyone else relate to that? I know I can. Yeah, that's why we breathe, to release them. It's also why we tap. So you could think of unpleasant thoughts or feelings kind of like weeds in a garden. You can repeat to yourself, there are no weeds, there are no weeds, but that's not going to change the existence of the weeds. Only when you can acknowledge them, put your hands on them, yank them out of the dirt, only then can you make space in the garden for beautiful, healthy plants. And the same happens in the mind when you pull the weeds from the past, when you then, and only then, are you left with a healthier, happier, more vibrant, empowered, and integrated self. So tapping and voicing unpleasant things doesn't make them stronger, but it actually makes them lighter. And we'll see some of that today. They begin to feel less true. And that's when you can really be free from what's not serving you. And in that way, tapping doesn't merely stir up old pain and emotions, but it voices and honors and releases it so that it no longer needs to be held and contained to really torture you from the inside out. And this is processing, it's not erasing. So you still have the lessons and the insights and the growth from your experience, just without the emotional charge that keeps you trapped in the past. And so the results, it's like having a conversation with your subconscious mind, where all the stuff that you never really hear gets a chance to voice and then release. And in this way, it's so much like breath work. It's this process of deep allowing, not fighting. It gives you permission to feel, permission to look quote unquote bad and just let it out. Often we're afraid to feel, especially if the feelings are uncomfortable. But tapping gives us a safe way to let them come up and to move through them. And not only that, it gives us an opportunity to literally rewire our brain. So that all sounds great. Where's the proof? Science is still really getting to the root of precisely how tapping works, but there's mounting research, especially focused on the amygdala, confirming that it does. We also have the long history from ancient traditions, as well as anecdotal evidence. We have practitioner testimonies confirming its efficacy. We may not fully understand the mechanism of action, and it's likely more complex than we'll ever really fully understand, but the best way to validate that it works is to try it out for yourself. So the next question then is, Stacey, how do I know if EFT is right for me? So who can benefit? And the short answer is everyone. Tapping's versatility shines not only in the wide range of uses, but also in the wide range of people who can benefit from the practice. It's effective at any age, for any demographic, given any condition. You can use it when you're healthy or when you're ill, young or old. Children actually take quite readily to the practice of tapping. It can be a fun process for them to learn, and it gives them an easy tool to cope with an increasingly stressful world. I even know some people who have tried it out on their pets, so that's an option too. The uses are as widespread, really, as your individual needs are, whether you want to perk up or calm down, whether you're handling an emotional situation, or you're in physical pain, or you're just simply wanting to envision a more empowered future for yourself. Essentially, anyone who wants to take control of their own health and well-being is a prime candidate, and that most definitely includes breathers. There aren't really any contraindications. I would encourage you, though, if you do have deep-seated trauma, you preferably start working with a practitioner at first to help create the safe space for processing. And so that implies three different scenarios, three common scenarios for tapping. The first one being individuals. Since it's a tool of radical self healing and self-empowerment, individuals can tap on their own. But it's also great for pairs. It can be incredibly powerful in therapeutic partnerships where a practitioner guides someone else into deeper, more specific processes, uniquely tailored to that individual. And having a guide can illuminate blind spots. It can help you identify patterns that you otherwise might not make on your own. And that can often have dramatic and more immediate results. This tends to be the model that I use in my practice. Regardless of a client's concern, I'll often bring some tapping into every session. It deepens the work that we do together, and it can precipitate extraordinary breakthroughs. In several cases, an issue that I might formally have addressed with diagnostic testing or supplementation might be reduced or resolved in a single session. So miracles really can happen every day with this practice. And then the third common scenario is using it in groups. Even if the process in a group setting is geared more toward one specific member of the group, others tapping along often are really surprised to realize how the process shifts something inside themselves, something inside their own body. Tapping tends to dredge up these emotions and sensations that are really common to the human experience in general. And so you might notice a deep resonance when tapping with someone else on their issues or their words, or you might even find that their issues and words feel exactly like your own. And I know as many of us have experienced in group breathwork sessions, the collective really enhances that personal experience. And sometimes even similar themes arise within a group. And the same is true here. Like all energetic practices, tapping is potentiated in community, and we'll get a taste of that here shortly. But it isn't only live participants that benefit. Energy, as we know, it transcends time and space. So even if you choose to watch the replay and tap along then, you can experience results through this practice. Again, everyone benefits. And this power of the collective is one reason why we're offering these ongoing breathwork integration circles exclusively for subscribers. And like I said, I'll share more about that at the end. So at this point, we've talked about what EFT is. We've talked about how it works. We've talked about who can benefit. Let's get into when and where to use it. So at this point, given tapping's versatility, you can likely guess the answer anytime and anywhere. So when to use EFT, it could be that you tap in an acute situation as a thought or feeling, emotion, or memory arises. Or it could be that you set aside time to tap regularly. You make it a consistent practice, just like you would any self-care or maintenance practice. Or maybe you tap when you're feeling stressed or hypervigilant. You can tap when you're feeling apathetic or distracted. You could tap when you're stuck in a problem during the day, or you could tap at night when you can't sleep. You can tap before important interactions or presentations to build confidence. You can tap in conversations on the phone with a friend or a family member. You can tap when you're trying to resolve a minor issue. You can tap when you're really ready to tackle a deep-seated trauma. Or you can also tap before and after breath work to prepare for or integrate an experience. And then again, there are myriad ways and places to tap as well. So you can tap in peaceful environments. You can tap in places of turmoil and unrest. It's been used in places of conflict, from war zones to scenes of natural disasters. You can tap in public or in private. You can tap at home, at work, in the car. You could tap in therapy in partnership with a practitioner to deepen the inner work. You can also tap in prayer to deepen your own spiritual connection. So you get the idea here. Once you know the technique, you can use it anytime and anywhere. But know that you don't have to go through the full tapping sequence if time or circumstances don't allow. So for example, you might find yourself stuck in traffic or out in public and you're starting to feel really stressed out. You could simply pick one tapping point, like the collarbone point, and tap discreetly while noticing the sensations and emotions in your body and letting them experience fully, just as you might while breathing. And often that simple gesture is enough to prompt a shift. So again, it's a versatile tool and feel free to use it often. Given all that, you've likely noticed some connections between EFT and breath work. So let's talk for a moment at the end of our section on context and theory about how EFT and breath work pair together. And there are several similarities between the two processes. And I've just listed a few here. I'm sure you could come up with others, but both breathwork and EFT can release stored tension. They can get deep into that nervous system. They can bring up suppressed emotions and help process old memories or even transform trauma. They tend to make the subconscious conscious and tune into that inner intelligence. Both practices also empower us with answers from within ourselves. They give us permission to release what we normally suppress and recognize that often what we've been saying to ourselves impacts our brain and our body more often than what we hear from others. And that gives us an opportunity to recondition the mind to a new way of thinking and speaking and operating in the world. These practices, breathwork and EFT, can free us from old patterns, old strongholds, repeated emotional dramas. They can create new neural pathways. I talked about the transformation that happens in the brain and awaken us to our true nature, help us achieve our highest potential. These practices also help us operate more from a space of creativity and energy and abundance rather than a space of survival and stress and lack. They can help us be change agents rather than feeling victimized by our circumstances. That tends to be a big one. They also help improve our relationships, not only with ourselves, but with others. And they help us experience freedom, healing, wholeness, transformation on a deeper, more powerful level. And in that process, we're inviting these tools of radical self-acceptance, self-expression, and self-empowerment. Certainly, that's not an exhaustive list, but you do get the idea. But there are a number of practical differences between the two practices. So breathwork tends to be a longer process. It often takes those 10 to 12 minutes in the beginning to really drop in, and longer after that to reap more enduring benefits. Breathwork requires a certain setup, as we all know, a comfortable spot where you're not going to be interrupted, a block of distraction-free time, a playlist of carefully curated music. And then also, given the more vigorous physical nature of the practice, there are contraindications. You don't want to do it while you're pregnant, or if you have epilepsy or uncontrolled high blood pressure, certain cardiovascular disease, and some other contraindications there. The other piece is that it often requires further integration. So some leave breathwork sessions with absolute clarity, but other people feel a sense of incompletion, or they have new questions. And the sharing that happens at the end of a session is a great opportunity to start that process, but then it's in your hands to really be proactive about your own integration. If we compare that to EFT, EFT tends to be a little quicker, a little more immediate. A few rounds of tapping sometimes is enough to notice a shift. It doesn't require any special setup. Remember, you can tap anytime or anywhere. And it doesn't have any real contraindications, like I mentioned. The other piece is that EFT is itself effective both as a standalone practice, but also as an integration technique. In other words, the practice is often the integration. So when we combine these theoretical similarities with the practical differences, the two become such great pairs. They become a powerful combination, because we know that breathwork is undeniably one of the most powerful practices available to humans. But you simply can't just drop everything and do a session whenever you need it. You can, however, stop and tap if an emotion or a sensation arises. And this allows you to continue the inner work from your session throughout the day, throughout those ups and downs of normal life. So if you think back to those questions that I asked you at the beginning of the webinar about whether breathwork has awakened certain or new emotions or sensations, or brought to light memories or messages or new insight, we know from the science of breathwork that this faster, deeper breathing loosens some of that psychological material. But now, what do you do with it? With all that stuff that's now floated to conscious awareness, how do you handle that situation? Or what does that image mean? Or how do you act on that new revelation? Ultimately, we'd like to ask other people, but we are the only ones that can answer those questions for ourselves. Only you can make sense of that new emotion, or process that memory, or interpret that dream. And only you can really take ownership of your emotional state in a relationship, or act on that change that you want to see in some area of your life. And what EFT does is it gives you a means to uncover answers that have been there all along, especially if you feel unsettled or incomplete after a breathwork session. In other words, it continues the process, but it gives you time, space, and a technique to integrate. And as I mentioned earlier, integration is often where the real transformation happens. It's that special sauce of sorts to any peak or expanded state experience. It's less an addendum and more a real indispensable piece in getting the most out of your breathwork practice. If you really want to see the change that you desire in yourself or your work, your health, maybe your finances or your relationship or some other area of your life. So by way of a quick summary, EFT is an in-the-moment, standalone self-care practice that accesses the subconscious and quickly shifts the mind and body. It's also an adjunct to deeper processes like breath work, and therefore a versatile tool to put in your integration toolkit and to use often. And that's why we're providing you with this mini course to really fill that integration gap. Now you can take integration into your own hands immediately after a breathwork session or in the days that follow. And it's also why we're providing these exclusive subscriber-only integration circles where you can bring lingering questions and get guidance from a practitioner, as well as group support from fellow breathers. So enough about theory. We have a comment here in the chat box. This is a great pairing of modalities. Wasn't sure what to expect when I signed up. So someone is seeing how brilliantly the two fit together. Yes, they absolutely do complement one another. So let's get into how to practice them. I'm going to put up a diagram of the tapping points again. The sequence, as I mentioned, is always the same. So let's get comfortable with it. You're going to pick one hand. Again, it doesn't matter which one. You don't need to use both hands and you don't need to alternate sides. You can take 3 or 4 fingers and apply firm but gentle pressure with the fingertips, not the fingernails. And then you're going to tap several points or several times on each point and then move on to the next point. So I'm going to guide us through several rounds, just getting familiar with this process. In your own space, feel free, and I would encourage you to really dive in and participate fully and tap along with me. So let's begin at the top of the head, tapping a few points, top of the head, inside of the eyebrow, side of the eye, under the eye, under the nose, chin crease, collarbone, under the arm, about a hand width under the armpit, and then side of the hand. Let's do that a few more times to get the hang of it. Top of the head, inside of the eyebrow, side of the eye, under the eye, under the nose, chin crease, collarbone, under the arm, side of the hand, back up top of the head, inside of the eyebrow, side of the eye, under the eye, under the nose, chin crease, collarbone, under the arm, side of the hand, and back up to the top of the head. Let's pause there for a moment. Did anyone notice anything simply from tapping without bringing any words into it? If you have any quick observations, feel free to share in the chat box. What did you notice just moving through the points? Yep, someone said it's relaxing. Uh-huh. Yeah, and that's a common experience. Simply tapping through the points can have this soothing effect on the body. Mm-hmm. It wakes me up, someone said. Yep, so it can be energizing too. Again, it can bring in what you particularly need. If you need more relaxation, it might feel more relaxing. If you need a pick-me-up, it might energize you. Yeah, and so the process itself is a great way to tune into your body, but the real power comes when we start to layer in the other components, the verbal and sensory processing, that make tapping even more potent and effective. And ideally, as we do this, you're familiar enough with the tapping points that you can move through them in the background on your own. Oh, we have another comment. I felt a stronger connection to my body. Absolutely. That's the power of these mind-body-centered tools. Yes. And so good. You all noticed something just moving through the points. And we're going to continue to use those points in the examples that follow. If you can close your eyes because you're comfortable with the points, go ahead and do that. If you aren't yet familiar enough with them, I'll put this diagram back on the screen when we get to an example. And like I said before, it'll also be a downloadable handout on the course page, or you're welcome to email me privately and ask for this handout, and I will send it to you sooner. So that's the tapping. Those are the tapping points. The next piece is the actual process. So the points form the foundation, but the psychological techniques that build on that foundation are myriad, which is why EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques, plural. Because there are so many ways that this general process can be used, and you'll likely encounter variations if you train with other practitioners or if you search for tapping resources online. But today, and in our ongoing integration circle, I'm going to follow this general sequence, which I've mapped out for you in these 10 easy steps. So step one is identify the issue. And it could be a physical pain or sensation, it could be emotional distress, a thought pattern that you want to change, maybe a stressful situation that you keep replaying in your mind, or it could be a traumatic memory or something else. The more specific you can name the issue, the better. But even if you can't pinpoint what the real issue is, just start tapping. Clarity often comes by simply engaging the process. And then two, you check in. Notice how you feel about this particular issue. Focus on the level of physical sensation and emotion. How does this issue manifest in your body? You can include specific words or phrases that are especially triggering or feel representative for you. You can also rate the intensity of the feeling on a scale from 0 to 10, where 10 is the most intense. It's not required that you rate the feeling, but that often serves as a benchmark if you want to assess any shifts or changes later. The third step is to tap and voice the unpleasant. And you're going to close your eyes, take a deep breath, and then move through those points that we just practiced using the feelings, the sensations, and the triggering words. You can repeat those same few words over and over and over again, or you can vary the statements depending on what's coming up for you in the moment. I would encourage you, though, don't overthink it, and also don't hold back. Let your body fully and honestly express what it wants. And let it be big. I know Michael says that a lot in breathwork. Let it be big. Often the more over the top and the more exaggerated, the better. This is your opportunity to release the bold, raw truth of how you're feeling without sugarcoating it at all. You trust your intuition and freely give voice to that tape that's already playing in your head or subconsciously running your body. And so, after that, then we're going to, number four, pause and check in. Stop tapping after a few rounds. Take a big, deep breath and tune in. Notice what you're feeling, what sensations, emotions, thoughts, memories are you experiencing? Has something shifted? Has something new come up? Just be aware of it. And then the fifth step, you tap again. You close your eyes, you take a big deep breath, and you move through the points using whatever feelings, sensations, memories, or thoughts are coming up for you now. Again, try to stay at that level of sensation and emotion. Honor anything and everything that you feel, especially if it feels unpleasant. Really let your inner guidance, your inner intelligence guide that process. And then you're starting to get the hang of it. Number six, we pause and we check in again. Tune into your body, your mind, your spirits. What's arising for you? What feels most true? What no longer feels true? You might start to assess the initial issue. Has the intensity increased? Has it decreased? Has something new come up that feels even more important? And then step 7, continue tapping as needed. Remember that it's really a self-guided process. Trust your inner intelligence to bring up whatever needs to be voiced and just keep tapping on it. At some point, we move to step 8, which is to tap and then invite the opportunity. And as you feel ready, let the tone of your tapping start to shift. Open to the possibility of change. Move into a few rounds where you voice new insights, new emotions, new sensations, thoughts, beliefs, behaviors, whatever it is that you would like to invite into your life based on what you just experienced through those prior rounds of tapping. But please don't force yourself here. If you don't get here, that's fine. The goal is first to give yourself permission to voice and express what feels most true in your body without the desire to quote unquote fix a problem or force a positive or judge a feeling or change your mind or add some sort of optimistic spin. Only when it feels true, that's when maybe you invite some new qualities or emotions or sensations or beliefs to replace the unpleasant ones that have slowly begun to dissipate. And then step 9, we have reassess. So how do you feel after voicing this new perspective? Tune once again into your body, mind, and spirit. We do a lot of that, checking in, noticing how you're feeling. Assess the intensity of the original issue now. Bring it to mind again. Say it aloud. Feel it in your body. Does it have the same emotional charge that it did? Does it trigger the same reaction in your body? You might even rate the intensity again on a scale from 0 to 10 and compare it to that initial rating. And then finally, step 10, reflect and record. Reflect on your experience. Jot down any notes to yourself about the process, about maybe new memories that came up or new thoughts or insights, or maybe about a deeper issue, whatever the case may be for you. Then you could start the process again if you wanted to on a new or a different issue, or you could keep a list going for when you have more time. Again, it's guided by your process, but wherever you stop, wherever you choose to pause, don't forget to celebrate yourself, because just by engaging the technique, you are retraining your brain, and that is powerful. So those are the 10 steps, the rough process that we're generally going to follow. And we have a comment here in the chat box that it seems like a variation of EMDR. And in essence, yes, EMDR and EFT are both tools that get to the deep subconscious in a very similar way. EMDR often needs a practitioner to guide it, whereas EFT, you're more often able to engage on your own. So it's a little bit more accessible for a self-care, self-healing, self-empowerment practice. But yes, the two do have a lot of similarities. I will note, if you hear anything loud in the background, we are having a terrific thunderstorm here in Dallas. And so you might sense and hear some loud booms and a little bit of noise that I can't control, but let that be part of this process. So those are the steps that we will engage as we practice. But I just want to remind you that tapping is as much a fluid, self-guided art as it is a science. It's not essential that you follow this exact sequence or tap a certain number of times or apply a precise amount of pressure or get that phrasing just perfectly right. You might even pick one word and tap on that same word round after round after round. Or if you're tapping at home and you really feel an emotion or a sensation in your body, you might decide to forego words completely and really just drop into your process. Sometimes words can provide the language of the subconscious and help deepen the feelings and sensations and make the process more powerful for us, but sometimes they really just feel superfluous. And in that way, tapping is very much like breath work. You start with a template, just like you would start with faster, deeper breathing for the first 10 to 12 minutes, but after a while, the process takes over. So if this sounds a little new to you, for those who haven't experienced EFT before, just trust the process. The beauty of tapping is that it's very forgiving and it works regardless of whether you believe it. And we have a question there in the chat box, a great one. It says, is there a recommended time limit? And the answer is no. You might just have a few minutes and run through a few quick rounds of tapping, and that's all you need, or that's all you have time for. Or you might dive into a longer process and really want to work through an old memory, and you might spend 30, 40, 60 minutes on it if you really feel like things need to be voiced. And so there is no time limit. Again, it's a very self-directed process, and use it as your time allows. Okay. And we have another question here. Is it necessary to switch sides? No, not at all. You're welcome to just pick one hand and always tap with that hand. The endpoints of the energy meridians in the body run on both sides. There's a symmetry there. So you're affecting the same energy meridians even if you choose one hand and never switch to the other one. Okay, great questions, everyone. Love seeing you all so engaged. So let's really get into it. EFT in action. We can work through an example together, and I'd love to do that. Anyone else excited, ready to move into an example? Feel free to share how you're feeling. Let me know if you're ready to dive in. Yes, we have a yes. Let's get into it. So there are lots of common experiences that happen during breath work, but almost everyone at some point encounters this particular one. And it is fear. Can anyone relate to feeling fear at some point in their life, be it a breath work experience or real life? Most of us can relate to this one. So let's get to know our fear a little bit. Yes, yes, we have, of course, right. It's such a common experience. So let's see how we can use tapping to get into different layers of fear. I have some questions for you to help you start to tune into your relationship with fear. And these are processes that you can, or questions that you can start to process in your own space. Maybe note what fears come up for you most often in breath work. How does that fear feel? Maybe even note what are the common physical sensations that you experience, or how does fear manifest in your specific body? What other emotions are associated with fear? What images, experiences, situations, memories, thoughts, beliefs, narratives are associated with fear for you? How do you habitually respond to fear? And would you like to respond differently to fear? And if so, how? If any quick words or phrases are coming up for you, you're welcome to share them in the chat box. Otherwise, I'll leave the deeper answers to these questions for you to process privately as we go through this example. So yes, this is very much an active process. I encourage you to use this as an application. Of course, I want to more easily go into the fear. Yes. More ease, that's certainly something that comes up with breath work. Rather than struggle against the fear, how can we go with grace and ease into those uncomfortable places? Yes. If anything else is coming up for you quickly that you want to share, again, feel free to tap or type into the chat box. But often, as we all recognize, intense thoughts, feelings, and sensations, memories even, often surround our relationship with fear. And it's perfectly normal. So we're going to work with some of these ideas, these notions, these thoughts, these sensations that come up in relation to fear. And what we're going to do is tap together. So I'm going to move through the points on the screen. You're welcome to follow along. I'll also put the diagram on the screen so you can follow that as well. I'm not going to cue the points because I want you to dive into your own process. If you don't need to keep your eyes open to follow along, I would encourage you to close them and go inward and really feel the words and the sensations and the feelings and the energy as you tap. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to voice some statements for all of us, and then you can simply repeat them aloud in your own space after me. I'm going to use some general language that I hear to cover the many different experiences that people often have in relation to fear. But I encourage you to get specific. Like I said, get specific in your own space. Zoom in on the sensations that feel most true in your body. Identify a specific moment, even a specific memory where you were really afraid. It could be something that came up during a recent breathwork session. And then the more individual and specific you can make this process for you, the better. Notice the intensity. If you're calling to mind a specific instance or a specific fear, you might even assign it a value on a scale from 0 to 10, with 10 being the most intense. If you want to follow the tapping points, I'm going to leave this diagram up now. But I invite you to sit up tall in your space, wherever you are, with your spine long, feet planted firmly on the ground, if your circumstances allow. And I invite you to close your eyes if you can. Take a deep, full breath, inhaling through the nose. And then exhaling completely, feeling into your body, feeling into this thing that we call fear. Let it be big. Let the sensation start to come up. Relive the experience of being afraid. Give yourself permission to enter that space of dread or terror where you're feeling all of those accompanying sensations. And now let's start to tap. We'll start at the top of the head. I'm afraid. Repeat after me. Terribly afraid. I feel it in my body. I feel this knot in my stomach. I feel nauseous. So nauseous and afraid. I'm flooded with panic. Absolute panic. My heart races. It's pounding in my chest. I can hear the pounding. It's hard to breathe. I feel a constriction in my throat. Like I'm being suffocated. I want to call for help, but I can't speak. I feel this constriction in my chest. Like I'm being buried alive. Or my body's turning to stone. I feel so heavy. There's a huge weight I can't lift off. I feel the weight in my feet. I want to run, but I can't move. I'm trapped in fear. Like I'm trapped in quicksand. Or trapped in a tomb. Trapped. The fear overwhelms me. Chills rack my body. I can't stop shaking. All this fear. This immobilizing fear. I can't feel anything else. Just this dreadful fear. It tenses every muscle in my body. It overwhelms every cell of my body. Paralyzing fear. It's getting more intense. All this fear pumping through my body. I can't take it. I can't do this. I can't feel anything else. I'll never feel anything else. Just this all-consuming fear. I'll be consumed by fear for the rest of my life. Unable to feel anything else. I'm never going to be okay. I'm going to be trapped here forever. Trapped here forever. With all this dread. All this fear. It overwhelms my body. It's so uncomfortable. I don't want to feel this. All this fear. Keep your eyes closed and stop tapping for a moment. Let's take a deep cleansing breath together. Inhaling through the nose and exhaling completely. Check in with your body. Notice any sensations, emotions, maybe thoughts or memories that are arising. Give them space to speak. How do you feel? What's shifted? What's coming up now? Be with that. Feel it fully. Stay in your process, in your body as we continue tapping. Since we're in a group today, I'm using language to encompass many different experiences. So the words I say may not fully resonate with you, and if that's the case, feel free to substitute your own words as you voice into your own space. Or if you watch the replay later, simply pause the recording, select a few words or phrases that feel incredibly true for you, and tap on those. Let this really be your own self-guided process. And then you can always resume the replay and jump back into tapping when you're ready. But for now, we're going to move into a second round of tapping together. So take a full, deep breath. Notice what's coming up for you. Notice what feels most true in your body. And we'll start tapping top of the head. All this fear trapped in my body. I don't want to feel it. I've tried to ignore it. I've tried to suppress it and soldier on. I've tried to push it away. But today, I'm just going to honor it. Honor all this fear in my body. All this fear reminds me that I've never really felt safe. That I've always been anxious at some level. That my nervous system has been wired for fear from a very young age. That's a new thought. Maybe fear has been with me since day one. As a tiny infant, I felt abandoned. No one there. No one to help. Hopeless and helpless. I felt so alone and so afraid. Completely alone, engulfed in fear. So much fear running through my body. Maybe my childhood was full of fear. Full of real danger. These people aren't safe. This place isn't safe. I'm not safe. I want to run. I want to hide. That's how I felt. Fear is the only language my body knows. So no wonder I'm afraid now. I totally honor that. I've never fully honored this fear. And how far back it goes. Even now, I feel so many fears. Fear of being seen. Fear of being judged. Fear of being rejected. Fear of being humiliated. Fear of being abandoned. Fear that I'm a fraud. Fear that I'm not good enough. Past fears and future fears. So many fears. They're uncomfortable to feel. But I honor them now. I give them space to speak. Rather than condemning, suppressing, or fighting them. That hasn't worked. It's cost me so much. I've lost so much being trapped in fear. Maybe I lost my childhood to fear. Maybe I've lost relationships. Maybe I've lost my health to fear. Maybe I've lost energy. All this fear is so exhausting. Maybe I've lost opportunities. I lost so much I can never get back. I honor how much I've lost because of fear. Because I've never truly felt safe. I honor all that I'm feeling and how far back it goes. Let's pause, keep your eyes closed, take a deep cleansing inhale together, and tune into your body again. Tune into your mind, your spirit. What's arising now? What feels most true? What no longer feels true? Has the intensity of the original issue increased? Has it decreased? Has something new come up that feels more important? On your own or one-on-one with a practitioner, you might do a few rounds of tapping to really follow your guidance here. Maybe the fear feels quite intense still and you continue to let it speak. Maybe a particular set of words or a memory has come to the surface or a specific fear feels most potent. So follow those threads. Again, I'm covering many different experiences in this example to give you a chance to tap into what's most true for you. If you're watching later on the replay, simply pause the recording and continue your process in your own space. Yeah, and someone just shared, he's experiencing a lot more emotion than he expected, and that's often what people find here. Putting your fingertips on the body and simply letting the subconscious speak, is a lot more evocative, a lot more powerful than we realize. So yes, if you're feeling more emotion than you expected, let it flow. Let those emotions come. Maybe you pause later to continue working through those specific emotions that are coming up for you right now. So if you pause to work through your own process, that's fantastic. For now, though, in the interest of continuing the example for the group, we're going to shift into a final round of tapping, expressing an openness to change. So I invite you all again to take a deep cleansing breath. Just notice how you're feeling right now at this time in this space. And let's tap one more time, starting at the top of the head. I'm open to being with fear in a new way. Not spinning in my head. With all that frenetic energy. Trying to rationalize my fear. Or creating disaster stories that get out of control. I'm a master at creating scary stories in my head. But I don't need to do that anymore. I can come back down into my body. My calm, solid, grounded, present body. I can come back to my breath. I can come back to my hands. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to feel. I'm safe now. I have a new relationship with fear. I can feel it and hear it. I can honor it and let it guide me. That's a new thought. Would you be my teacher and my guide, fear? What would you like to show me? Is it sadness? Helplessness? Is it vulnerability? Anger? I'm open to pulling back those layers. Uncovering new lessons and insights. Buried under all that fear. There's healing beneath the fear. I'm ready for that now. There's treasure beneath the fear. I'm ready for that too. Like courage. I'd love more courage. But maybe it's part of me already. That's a new thought. Just because I still experience fear doesn't mean I'm not courageous too. I am both. I am wonderfully complex. I'm an amazing, incredible being. I have courage in the midst of fear. It's treasure that's been there all along. It's part of me. And it's up to me to see and celebrate that. It's not easy. It's downright uncomfortable at times. But I'm ready. Ready to more easily go into the fear. Ready to invite more courage. More healing and acceptance. More growth and freedom. More inspired action. More empowered love. I'm inviting all of this into my life now. I don't know quite what it'll look like, this new relationship with fear. But I'm curious and excited to find out. Pause your tapping here for a moment. Take a deep cleansing inhale and a full exhale. Keep your eyes closed and tune into your body one more time here. Just be with the stillness, be with the quiet, and notice, what do you need right now in this moment? What's whispering to you? What does your body say? What does your mind need to hear? What lessons are bubbling to the surface right now? What does this new relationship with fear look like? And how would you act on that new insight? Just notice any sensations that are coming up in your body, any feelings, any thoughts or ideas. Again, if you're watching later, feel free to pause the recording and tap on anything new that might come up. Then finally, when you're ready, assess the intensity of the original issue. Pinpoint any shifts and then open your eyes and come back into your space. You might take some time to jot a few notes to yourself about the experience. Here are a few overarching questions that you might decide to reflect on. First of all, how do you feel now? Did anything shift in your body and mind? Did anything unusual or unexpected arise? Someone commented earlier that the flood of emotion was a little unexpected. Did some particular emotion, sensation arise for you that was unexpected? What did you notice about the process? Or what did you glean from this practice of tapping in general? And do you have any new insights about fear or about your specific relationship to it? What do you need? What do you really need, honestly, truly, deeply, in order to grow with and through fear? You're welcome to just be in your own space, or you can type into the chat box or share verbally. I will just remind you that the webinar is being recorded, so if you share at any point, do so in a way that respects your own privacy. And I know that one of you noted during the process that you felt more centered, and certainly that's a powerful place to be. When we're centered, when we're really grounded in our body and our mind, and then we can bring into our life our most empowered, resourceful, resilient, integrated self. Yeah. I know someone else mentioned that they felt more able to trust during this process. And yes, that's absolutely a common result from tapping as well. This greater ability to tune into and also trust your inner guidance. There's also a trust there that you can move with greater ease through whatever life sends your way. And there are plenty of other results and benefits that people get from tapping. You're welcome to share. Otherwise, I've listed a few other benefits here And again, this isn't an exhaustive list. It's simply a review of some things that people overall report, improvements in areas of their life and areas of well-being as a result of this ongoing practice. So people notice more presence, like being centered, more inner calm, relaxation, greater resilience and resourcefulness. People notice improved confidence, clarity, curiosity, creativity. They feel a little bit more inspired or insightful. They report greater understanding about themselves and others, more forgiveness. That's a big one, forgiveness for ourselves and also for others. There's a heightened sense of compassion, often more gratitude, more authentic expression. People report better physical health, better perspective from which to assess their lives, freedom from that feeling of the busyness autopilot. People also notice that they're freed from some of the limiting beliefs that they had, some cycles of sabotage, addictions, or intergenerational patterns. Like I mentioned earlier, people often notice an ability to respond rather than to react. In other words, there's this improved responsibility, that is our ability to respond to our environment. And overall, people notice more healing and growth, a deeper connection with others and with their own purpose and passion in the world. There's a deeper understanding and experience of being fully human and fully alive, as well as deeper feelings of empowerment. So in the interest of empowerment, let's talk finally about putting this practice into action. And I trust that I've accomplished my goal from the beginning, which was simply to share this versatile practice called EFT and to encourage you to begin using it. You all experienced how our little fingertips can cause a tangible shift in the body and mind, despite even the general nature of this group experience, this group setting, and the limited time that we have. And so this is a powerful tool. And now the challenge really is in your hands. Will you take on that challenge? And so I invite you to consider three possible action steps as we wrap up today. The first action step, integrate on your own. Find a tool that resonates with you and commit to a regular practice. Maybe you already have a regular practice. Maybe you already proactively integrate. That's great. Keep it up. Maybe you don't, and maybe this is your opportunity to say, it's time to commit to regular integration. As we've talked about, EFT is a fantastic tool for that. It complements breath work so well. Go ahead and watch the replay if that's helpful. Review this webinar again. Download the handout with the tapping points. Set aside time to practice on your own. Or again, find another tool that resonates with you. Michael lists post-breathwork integration suggestions on the website, so take advantage of those resources that are available to Neurodynamic Breathwork Online subscribers. Often, the real obstacle is not in information or access, but really in our commitment and our discipline. So commit to tapping, commit to integration, commit to deepening your breathwork experience. And then the second possible action step would be to integrate in community. You can check out some offerings that we're going to be providing here shortly, because community is a powerful tool. And that's the core premise of Neurodynamic Breathwork Online. When people come together to do their inner work, big shifts happen. Michael has created this incredible online tribe, and we really want to enrich it further with ongoing support as you bridge that gap between breathwork and daily life. And that's why we're offering an ongoing integration circle exclusively for subscribers. It's a special, unique opportunity to bring your integration questions and to get live coaching from an EFT practitioner, and that's going to be me, plus the group support from fellow breathers. We'll meet over Zoom to address any questions, feelings, emotions, sensations, memories, anything that's arisen from you, for you, from your recent breathwork experience. You can come with a specific issue, or you can come simply to learn from the experience of others. Circles are from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time on the second and fourth Sundays of every month, starting on June 9th. And so you're welcome to drop in at any time. You don't need to pre-register. So consider joining us. This is a unique opportunity to integrate with your fellow breathers. And then finally, a third possible action step might be to integrate with a practitioner. Some of you know that it's time to go deeper. You've tried flying solo. You've maybe had some group experiences, but you need more targeted guidance. Maybe you've achieved a certain level of awareness, but maybe your current goals are a little too daunting to tackle on your own, or you've been stuck in some area of your life. Maybe it's your health, your finances, your relationship, your professional path, whatever the case may be, and you really need a helping hand to get moving again. Or maybe you're working through a real roadblock or a trauma or something deeper, and you could use a compassionate guide to help you move through it. If that's you, I'd really encourage you to reach out for one-on-one support. Recruit some help from a trusted practitioner in your area. You can also contact Michael for recommendations, or you're welcome to reach out to me at any time. Michael does offer an email address for subscribers and for breathers. That's integration support@breathworkonline. If you have specific questions about your integration process, or if you want to reach out to me specifically, you're welcome to do so at Stacy, S-T-A-C-Y, at soulsinsynergy.com. And again, you're also welcome to drop me an email there if you'd like the handout with the tapping points. I can send that along to you before it gets posted on the course page. And I also do offer coaching sessions at a discounted rate for fellow breathers. And now finally, as we wrap up here, regardless of which of these three action steps that you choose, I'd love to pause and really honor all of you, to celebrate you for showing up today and participating fully, to celebrate you for showing up not only for yourselves, but also for this community, for committing to your personal growth and your regular breathwork practice, and for owning your process and your integration. And then in the process of doing that, for supporting other breathers through this interconnected energetic web that we all share. It's hard work. It's work, frankly, that not everyone is willing to do. And so I'm grateful for each of you who showed up today, for the spirit, for the energy, the vulnerability, the commitment that you bring to this growing neurodynamic breathwork online tribe. And so I honor you. I invite you to honor yourselves as well, to honor the beauty in who you are right now in this moment, because I'm sure you all have come a very long way. So I thank all of you, all of the amazing people that showed up for today and who will be watching this on the replay. It's been an extraordinary gift to share this time and space for education and integration. And I very much look forward to serving you in the ongoing integration circles and supporting your journeys of radical self-empowerment. We're reaching the end of our time together. I'm going to stay on for any questions, but since this is the official conclusion, I'm going to stop the recording here momentarily. If you do want to stay on for any unanswered questions, feel free to type into the chat box or unmute yourself. Again, we'll stop the recording, so if you do want to.